It is time for the food maven, Arthur Schwartz, the moment that we look forward to so pretty much all week long because it makes us drool. How are you?
Well, I'm a diversion from the issues of the world.
That's okay.
Yeah, one of my Facebook friends, who I actually know in real life, was saying the other day he can't take it anymore, so he's retreated to the kitchen, and he's cooking constantly. May she rest in peace. Suzanne Summers played a role in my life. I never met the woman, although I always thought I should. But one of her recipes is become one of my part of my regular repertoire, even though I haven't made it in a while, because it's a pork roast that serves at least eight, and I'm not feeding eight people every day or even every other day. So, and it was just going to be too much leftovers. I knew if I made it, we would enjoy it one day, and then I'd have to figure out how we were going to enjoy it on day two, three, and maybe four. So I haven't made it, but now I'm going to make it because she just passed away. She's my age. I must say, we are dying with greater frequency, those of us in our mid-70s. So I'm going to treasure the moment and make it. Now, here's a funny story about it. She calls it 18-hour pork roast, but truth be told, 12 hours is really enough. But even 12 hours is longer than most people want to keep their oven on, apparently, because when I first made this, how many stoves ago was that? Maybe four stoves ago. I put it in the oven and woke up the next morning and the oven was off. Little did I know that my oven had a 12-hour safety switch off. So if you had to override the 12 hours with a Sabbath override, because you're not allowed to turn the oven on the Sabbath, but you can leave it on. So if you want to leave your oven on for 18 hours or more, you could do that by overriding the Sabbath with the Sabbath override. But normally it would click off at 12 hours. Now, I was in a panic. This is the first time I made the roast. Because I'm thinking, my God, how long has it been sitting here? I have to figure this out. Maybe the oven went off. I don't know. You know, it could be spoiled. But I decided we'd eat it anyway, and we were fine. And I learned about the override. My new oven doesn't have such an override, as far as I know. I better go look in the book, because I am going to make this. It's so easy. And so good. And I didn't get it.
When did you make it for the first time?
Book.
I'm just curious, when did you make it for the first time?
Where did I make
No,
it?
No, when? What brought you to it?
It had to be maybe the mid-80s, late 80s. Let me say, I got the recipe not because I bought Suzanne Summers' Eat Healthy book, but because my friend and colleague at the Daily News, Suzanne Hamlin, discovered this recipe. And I think at that time, Suzanne was on, she was way ahead of her time, always, on everything. Suzanne, may she rest in peace, I think was on a carb-free diet. And this roast she served, Suzanne did, with lettuce to tuck, you know, at the end you end up with this meltingly tender, falling off the bone, a pork roast with bits of crackling from the skin on the top. I'll tell you how to get that in a sec. And you make like a taco, except you use lettuce leaves instead of tortillas.
So almost like eating Vietnamese.
And you put sauce on top. Almost and then like... serves it with a pico de gallo.
Right. So you know? So it's pretty much it's great. And then it's like I forget what they're called, but you know, Vietnamese, you make them all the time. You roll up the lettuce, you take whatever it is, roll up.
Yeah, roll it up. But, so, I mean, the thing is, you can do other condiments as well or sauces. I'm not a barbecue sauce person. I'm very happy with the flavors that are in this meat to begin with. So, let me tell you how you do it. You need a whole, and this is sort of a funny story, I think. You need a whole pork shoulder, which in my neighborhood, is easy to get. Sidebar. I look up this recipe on the internet, and I find that somebody at some recipe sharing website, I'm going to find it in a second here, has shared two versions of the Suzanne Summers 18-hour pork roast. One of them, I know, is mine, but I'm not credited. How do I know it's mine? Because I say, as I just said, I can easily find pork shoulder in my Brooklyn supermarkets. It's not a rare cut at all. But in some communities, I believe it is a rare cut. And you might have to ask the butcher or whoever's behind the counter there to get you one if you want one. It feeds a lot of people, so it's great for a party. A whole pork shoulder with the skin on should be about 9 pounds. I was making this so many years ago. I started making this. I was in a restaurant, one of the David Chang restaurants, I forget which one, where if you wanted to make a reservation, you had to buy his $300 whole pork shoulder, roasted pork shoulder, and it was enough for 6 or 8 people, something like that. So it wasn't such a expensive item, but you had to reserve a whole pork shoulder to be able to reserve a table. Anyway, so I'm sitting at the counter. It was counter service in this place, and with very congenial people who were from Westchester, and they were saying, oh, you know, it's such an inexpensive cut of meat. You know, how does he come off selling it for $300? He, you know, the man said, I think they were in some fancy town in Westchester. He said, I think it's $1.59 a pound where I am, so $16 worth of meat. I said, where I live, it's 99 cents a pound, so imagine. Anyway, pork shoulder is not an expensive cut of meat, but it is a very tough cut of meat, so you have to cook it long and slow. And this method is the long and slow. So you take your this, you're going to make a paste, a rub or seasoning paste, with fennel, garlic, salt, pepper, and if you like, hot pepper. And I use a whole, well, I don't, when I did this recipe, I was still buying fennel seed. Now that I have my own fennel seed, it's that one bottle, which is 1.6 ounces, a third of a cup of fennel seed. You got to grind them up. I'm not sure that Suzanne Summers ground them up, but I find that I have to bang them to a coarse powder in a mortar and pestle before I start making the seasoning paste. So to that I add 12, this is for a whole, you know, shoulder, 12 large cloves of garlic. Don't put your nose up in the air, Jill.
No, I haven't, because you're smashing it.
Of,
I know.
Pardon me?
I said you're making a paste.
Yeah, you're making a paste.
So.
And it's going to season 9 pounds of meat.
Right, so I'm not. My nose is not in the air.
Two rounded teaspoons of salt, at least a half a teaspoon of black pepper. If you're going to use red pepper, use those dried chili arbols or the small hot peppers, dried. And you can, I these days am using a scissor and I cut them up. They don't chop very easily. I have also made this without any hot pepper at all. And you mix all those things up with a couple tablespoons of olive oil. And now you want to score the pork skin. This is important in my recipe.
Or Chicharrones.
Hamlin's recipe or Suzanne Summers' recipe. And Suzanne Summers actually credits the idea for this recipe with something she ate at the River Cafe, which is a famous Italian restaurant in London. So many people, heard I was going to London, said, oh, you got to eat at the River Cafe. I said, you know, I'm not going to London to eat Italian food. But anyway, I only had so many meals in London.
Well, plus I don't know if it's the same one that was from before. I once was invited there. Thank you, somebody. But it just really did not live up to its billing, A. But B, scoring pork roast. When I was married a long, long time ago, my husband's family lived in Puerto Rico, and
pernil. I was going to say.
There you go. And so chicharrones. When I found out what real chicharrones were, I was in the kitchen basically devouring. It's terrible. We got divorced. So I was devouring the top off the pork roast.
I don't know. The thing is this. I've made pernil. I mean, basically Caribbean-style pork shoulder.
Yeah.
Because Puerto Ricans make it. Dominicans make it. I don't know. Do Cubans make it, too, I think?
Oh, yeah. But yeah. The important thing, really, especially if you grew up in Brooklyn or Buffalo, you know, because you and I were in certain households, I believe that our mothers, probably spoke. But the chicharrones, the crackling is the best.
Crackling.
I mean,
sublime. I am fortunate to have a Dominican restaurant right around the corner, and not much of the food is good, but the one thing that is are the chicharrones, and the desserts are great.
All right,
they make a wild coconut flan. But anyway, back to my paste. So you want to score the skin, which is to say, cut it through. Through the skin and fat, just to the meat, not through the meat. Stop when you start seeing little meat. And I make a diamond shape. You don't have to, but it looks nice. And it's about every half inch, three-quarters of an inch, even an inch, it depends. And then after you've made your paste with what I described, a dozen cloves of garlic, the fennel seed that's been crushed, salt, pepper, perhaps some hot pepper, and olive oil. Rub that into the pork. Get it into the slits. It's important to get it into the slits so that it does somewhat season the meat. Put the meat on a rack in a roasting pan in a preheated 450-degree oven where you will leave it for 30 minutes, a half an hour. At which point, the fat and skin should be sizzling. If it's not, leave it in a couple more minutes until it does. Then reduce the heat to 250. All the hours and hours of roasting are going to be at 250 degrees. And baste the roast with the juice of two lemons. That's a nice amount of lemon juice. In the end, you're going to use six lemons, so be prepared, because you're going to want to baste this, I would say, after a dozen hours, you're going to baste it again with the juice of two more lemons. And then at the very end, after 15 hours, you're going to put in two more lemons. If you want to pull this out after 12 hours, you can. And you can save the last two lemon juice baste. This is good hot. It should fall right off the bone. However, it's also very good made ahead. There'll be lots of drippings in the pan. You can break up and pull the meat if you want and mix it with whatever drippings are little. It's not going to be a lot of drippings in the pan. Or you can serve it warm. You can reheat it a little bit. Pernil is another story because most good pernil, I find, has been marinated and with lemon juice, lime juice, sour orange juice if you're in Puerto Rico. So another thing altogether. My other, I have to say, Suzanne Summers' memory is that, now this must have been the mid-80s, maybe even towards the late 80s. I went to Atlantic City at the height of the casino craze in Atlantic City to review restaurants to see what, I don't remember the restaurants. I remember very little, except that nothing was impressive, and that it was very difficult to get back to New York City because of the bus schedule. I remember that. But I also, the good memory is we went to see Billy Crystal and Suzanne Summers. I don't remember who opened for who. I think Suzanne Summers opened for Billy Crystal, that he was the headliner, so to speak. I'm sure I wouldn't have gone just to see Suzanne Summers, who I knew almost nothing about because I wasn't watching sitcoms in the 70s and early 80s. I was doing other things in the evening. But I certainly knew who Billy Crystal was. And I guess if we had to pick a show in Atlantic City, Billy Crystal was better than most. And then there was Suzanne Summers, who shocked us with her talent. We could not believe this woman who had a reputation of being just a blonde bimbo was actually a great dancer, singer, entertainer in general. I don't even remember what she did, but whatever it was very entertaining.
Right. Why do I think she was an ex-showgirl? I know she had a Vegas act at one point. I don't know why.
I think that, well, this must have been the period where she had the Vegas act, right, except that she was in Atlantic City.
Right. Okay, so yeah.
No, she did a lot of things in her life. She did a lot of things, although, you know, she had cancer for 20-some-odd years, off and on, over 23 years, I think it was. So she recently announced that her career was over, but it was only recently. So anyway, pernil is something is easy to get in Brooklyn, but beware of pernil. It always looks so succulent, and it always isn't always. And I find sometimes, so there are different, as you can imagine, this is a whole shoulder of the animal. There's a section of it that is ironically called Boston butt. It has nothing to do with the butt end of the animal. The butt end of a pig is called ham. The four, what do you say, the four what?
Horsemen of the Apocalypse? I don't know what.
the four part, the four quarter, that's it. The four quarter is called the shoulder. But part of the shoulder is called the butt. So if you see a piece in the supermarket called Boston butt, that is the same thing, but only part of the shoulder. And I find this is a great cut for making Neapolitan style, or actually just Southern Italian in general style, ragu, meat sauce. And in fact, it's sometimes sold already cut up into big chunks with the skin still on those big chunks. Could be with bone, not necessarily, could be boneless. If you ever see that in the supermarket, I do from time to time, just all cut up like that. I scoop it up, and I make a divine meat sauce. All you do is brown the pork pieces in a little bit of olive oil with a cut-up onion, small onion, depends on how many pounds of meat you have, and then deglaze the pan with red wine. You know, half a cup of red wine will do. When the wine goes down to nothing, add your tomato puree. Lately, I've been using puree in jars. Is that easy to find by you? It's very easy to find here.
I haven't looked.
And I prefer it to
the
whatever I can get in a can or a box, pretty much whatever brand it is, you know, passata puree. Anyway, I put in a few bottles of that and let it simmer until the meat's falling apart practically, and that skin gives the sauce this velvety, rich mouthfeel. In fact, if you chill this sauce, in fact, it's better the next day. It'll gel up in the refrigerator, which is always a good sign that you did something right. If it makes a gel.
No, I had that at the weekend. I skimmed something, and to my delight, I picked it up. And I was like, it's jelly. Yes,
you know the expression, it's lip smacking good. Well, that's from like a broth that has a lot of gelatin in it.
Yeah.
It literally makes your lips stick together.
It's true. It's absolutely true. I never thought of it like that, but it's absolutely true.
Well,
all right, so I did
make very divine, because this morning I refined it, divine chicken broth, but my beef broth didn't turn out all that good, so it was okay, a little oversalted, so I turned it into mushroom barley soup.
Right, so obviously, I don't know, your mother didn't teach you to cook, did she, or did she?
My mother didn't teach me to cook, but my grandmother lived downstairs from
us. Right, okay.
and I cooked with her all the time.
Because
my grandmother liked to cook.
Right.
My mother cooked because she had to.
My mother was indifferent and similar like that, so she did that. But it,
she did it, but, you know.
But without
and there were a few things that she took pleasure in, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I know. But not a whole lot.
Right. Exactly. And Marshall had the same thing. But, you know, his grandmother and then her sisters, you know, they just – it was a constant I guess what kids would now call what, Top Chef masters or something? You know, constant competition to outdo the next person.
No, well, that didn't exist in my household because my grandmother, whose beauty parlor friends used to call her the Duchess, was sort of above all that. And actually was the person that neighbors and family came to find out how to do something.
Right.
You know, how does Elsie make this or that? At the same time, she was a glamorous woman. My mother, who was also a glamorous woman, did cook, but, you know, it's like people often say to me, oh, I don't cook. And I said, well, what do you eat? And they'll say, well, you know, I'll broil lamb chops, make
exactly,
a salad,
right.
A vegetable. And I say, that's cooking.
Yep. So hey, where are we with this recipe? I've just been like 4 minutes. Hello?
Hello, what's 4 minutes?
I said, where are we with this recipe?
We got where are we with the recipe is that after you turn down the heat, you put it in a 450-degree oven, and as soon as the surface starts sizzling a little, you baste it with the lemon and put it back in the oven, turn the heat down to 250, and leave it there. That's it.
Okay.
Now if you want, you can baste it again with lemon juice. Which interesting is, you know, when you make a Puerto Rican pernil, one of the essential things is acid. So I think there's something to breaking down the. And also, I'm just thinking about this out loud now. But I have a recipe in a Southern Italian Table, a recipe made by a Croatian friend, woman who's been living in Salerno for 40 years though, and she. Douses pork ribs with lemon juice before putting them in the oven, and they do come out tender, even though they say, you know, pork ribs usually need a braise or at least a long, slow cooking. I do the long, slow.
Right, but
so,
no.
Anyway, so that's it. You leave it in the oven, and when you're ready to serve it, you can pull it apart with two forks, like pulled pork, and serve it in many different ways.
Yeah, and by the way, I just want to say that acid thing works. That, you know, there's a reason for that.
Yeah,
that breakdown.
There's got to be a chemical thing going on there that I'm not aware of. I mean, I'm aware that it works, and that it's done in more than one cuisine. So I'm figuring there's something scientific to it.
Oh, I'm sure, but I'm probably like putting a body in lime, but a different version of it.
Say that again?
Probably like putting a body in lime, but a different version of it.
A body in lime?
I don't mean lime juice. Never mind.
Body in lime juice.
Not in lime juice. You do not put a body in lime juice. Look up, never mind. You haven't read enough thrillers, I guess.
I don't read thrills, no.
Yeah,
life is already trying.
Yeah, but you've had decades to do it. I mean,
No. I don't mean just today. Although today is pretty bad for various reasons.
Well, we will hope that.
But I have in the oven right now, though.
It's going to make it better. Apple cake.
To make myself happy.
What?
No more apple cake. Not least. This week.
Okay.
No, I have popovers in the oven.
What's in them?
What's in them? Nothing's in them. They're just going to be popovers.
Okay.
We're going to have them with Patricia Murphy style with cottage cheese and apple butter.
And we'll ask you about the pork roast and drool
some
more the next time.
The pork roast is divine.
Yeah,
you can look if you're near a computer, you can look it up. Suzanne Summers 18-hour pork roast. And you're going to immediately find this entry in the website where the woman says, oh, I found two in response to somebody. And it's clearly my recipe because it talks about being in Brooklyn. It also says something about a listener who wanted to make this kosher. Is there any way to make a kosher pork roast? And on the radio, I suggested to her that she perhaps she could try the whole thing with a veal shoulder, although it's not going to taste the same at all. And she did. And it, besides, it was like she had to take out a second mortgage to buy a
yeah, exactly.
veal shoulder. She said it was very good.
It's a solution. We are solution-based. All right.
Yeah, but, you know, this we're talking here about a $10, maybe a $15 piece of meat. If it doesn't come out great, you have a pet?
Exactly. Or you have friends. One
you
or
have
the other.
Pets. All right, everyone. Have a great week.
You too. Thanks.